opening Tennessee Tech to the world today in the Upper Cumberland. During the COVID shutdown, the number of international students at universities across the nation fell. Has it rebounded? How important are international students to the Tennessee Tech campus? We explore that topic with Charlie Wilkerson, Tennessee Tech's Director of International Recruitment and Admission.
They account for about 3 to 4% of the student body. At one time, they accounted for 10% of the student body about 8-9 years ago. But at the moment, it's about 3 to 4% of our student body.
How much of that is COVID?
Some of it's COVID, some of it's currency, some of it's political climate, some of it is, you know, the differences between the United States and China. I mean, there's a lot of factors in that.
So there are a lot of things that go into this.
Yeah, yeah. I've had people just assume it was COVID. COVID did have a huge impact, but believe it or not, we had quite a few students who wanted to come during the COVID period, and they just took classes online, you know. And so when the borders opened up, those kids all came in. Some of them are graduating this fall, you know. So it's funny to talk to those students, and they're like, yeah, my first 2 years I did everything online, you know, and then I came to Tech, and they're finishing up now. So
what makes Tennessee Tech intriguing to an international student?
Well, we do have some scholarships, and that is intriguing. That always helps spark interest. Some students are not interested in going to a large urban location. And, you know, like I had one student transfer from up north. She was in Boston, and she told me, she said she couldn't even walk her dog. It was that dangerous. And she said, you know, I can walk my dog anywhere here, you know. And so the safety factor is taken into consideration. The cost of living used to be a big deal, but not much anymore because, you know, you could rent a two-bedroom apartment for $500 or $600, used to, but that doesn't exist at the moment.
We've grown a little bit, haven't we?
Yes, yes. I call that one of the COVID impacts right there, but that used to be a big attracting item, was the cost of living. Now, of course, we're still considerably cheaper from, you know, Boston and New York and Miami and Houston and, you know, places like that. You know, we do get students transferring from those big metropolitan areas.
I guess that's what most people would think, that if a student is going to come from a foreign country, that they're probably going to end up first at one of the big metropolitan universities, you know, whether it's UCLA on the West Coast or whether mm-hmm. it's Boston College or Syracuse or, you know, the University of Miami, those big schools. So how do you get the word to them? How do you share the story of Tennessee Tech in little old Cookeville, Tennessee?
Well, we are listed on quite a few different websites, which are specifically made for recruiting international students. You can highlight certain majors. So I usually try to make it to where all seven of the colleges are well represented. That way, you know, engineering is not getting all the attention, but the arts and sciences and fine arts. And so students can go on those websites and fill out an inquiry. And sometimes that's where the first introduction comes from the students. I talked to a student today from Ireland, and that's how he found Tech. He filled out one of those inquiries about 3 months ago, and he's looking at coming to Tech if he gets the right scholarship. With the U.S. dollar as strong as it is right now, he's not sure if he'll be able to afford it. And he's looking at Austin Peay and Belmont, too, and seeing what scholarships they're going to give him. And so, you know, so it's all money. It's all money. And, you know, I call it almost like, you know, they're measuring everybody up, you know. And so right now is the time to get them, you know. So now another way we attract a lot of students is there is something called a recruiting agent. And some people don't like working with agents. Some schools swear they're the devil, but because some of them do lie and some of them do charge the students a lot of money. But I've been working with agents since 1997, and I got a network of about 50 of them that I've known for ages, and I know they wouldn't mislead a student. And I would say of the 350 international students at Tech, I would say 200 of them came from an agent. So
how does that relationship work?
I'll go to Asia and then I'll make sure I hit some of those. When I visit Asia, I'll make sure I hit Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam and meet some of the agents there. I'll visit Bangkok. I have 4 or 5 key agents there. I'll visit Tokyo. I'll visit Seoul. I'll visit Taipei, Shanghai. And so you keep that relationship by visiting them. You do virtual events with them where you talk to students. You make sure you keep them stocked with materials and digital materials.
And on their side, are they finding students who are interested in a U.S. education?
Yep. I had a lady call me 2 days ago. She had a student looking at civil engineering. She said she immediately thought of Tech. We're communicating back and forth. And so that student's looking at maybe coming in spring because he doesn't think he has the time right now to come for the fall. I told her there's still time, but and so those relationships are key. And if we didn't communicate with them, it's not going to work. That communication is very important. It does mean I give up a lot of liberties with them because they have my phone number. So I sometimes get a phone call at 10 o'clock at night from Korea saying, Charlie, I got a student wanting to da-da-da-da-da, and So there's a lot of my colleagues don't realize I'm taking phone calls from Shanghai or Kathmandu at 1 o'clock in the morning because they found a student and that student's wanting to move quickly, But if I didn't jump on that student, they'll just go to MTSU.
There you go.
MTSU's got a huge group. So, they got 18 staff to R3. So, if I don't grab them, I won't get them because MTSU will get them.
Charlie Wilkerson is Tennessee Tech's Director of International Recruitment and Admission. We're talking about the impact of international students on Tennessee Tech and college education overall with Charlie Wilkerson. You've mentioned Asia. You've mentioned Europe. Are there a group of countries that are most likely to come to Tennessee Tech? Is there areas of the world that you have history with?
Well, one of the largest networks that Tennessee Tech has is from India. I've been here at Tennessee Tech for 20 years, and when I got here in 2004, Tech had about 100 international students.
What kind of academics are we talking about for an international student to get in to Tennessee Tech? Do they have to be pretty high echelon?
Well, for engineering and nursing and pre-med and computer science, the requirements are the same as the American students. Now, there is some leeway with the ACT and SAT because those tests are not readily available in some countries. Many people don't realize it. Like in Japan, the only place you can take an ACT or SAT is on a U.S. base. That's the only place you can take it. And so those spots get filled up with the American kids, the children of the military. So, when I first got to Tennessee Tech, I was like, because Japan, there's more Japanese factories in Tennessee than there is anywhere in America. And I'm like, we're like turning away all the Japanese because we're requiring the ACT and SAT. And so we made it. We have a test at Tech which basically replaces the ACT or SAT when the students get here, and if they don't do well on it, they can take some prerequisite courses that will get those students up to par. Most of the Japanese kids, when it comes to mathematics, they have no problem. It's the English sometimes they have to work with, but Tennessee Tech also has a center for ESL, English as a second language, so we're able to accommodate them. But I've had people say, the international students have it easier to get in, and they still require a 3.0, just like the American students, and for nursing, for engineering and such. And on the requirements for admission, I'm the one who actually calculates the GPAs on all the students' requirements. And, every school system's different. Like in India, 70 to a 100 is an A. I've actually had two Indian students who applied through the U.S. portal because they were actually born in the United States and had U.S. citizenship. They were denied admission to Tennessee Tech because they thought the 70 was a D. And so those kids came to me and said, well, I was denied admission when I got an A average. And so I made, you know, so if the person who's calculating the grades doesn't realize the difference in the grading ranges, they could really mess up. So I fixed those. I actually helped those two young ladies, and they ended up coming to DAC.
Charlie Wilkerson is our guest from Tennessee Tech. He is the Director of International Recruitment and Admission. Our conversation continues with Tennessee Tech's Charlie Wilkerson as we talk about international students. So we've hit on a little bit of what the benefit is to a student from another country to come to Tennessee Tech. What's the benefit to the university and to the students who are here to have international students among them?
Well, I mentioned 8 years ago, we used to have about 1,500 international students on our campus. The international students were literally about 10% of the campus. During that period, you couldn't help but notice there was a lot of international students. And during that period, we also had a lot of American students study abroad. It actually encouraged a lot of the American kids and actually drummed up more interest and study abroad. We were sending large groups of students to South Korea, to France, to Italy, to, you know, all over the world. And, you know, so that interaction actually stimulated the students in going. And also, you know, can you imagine there's a bunch of Korean students at Tennessee Tech, and the students says, well, I want to go study in Korea now because, you know, I've met so-and-so, and it made me very interested. It really contributed to that a lot. And a lot of employers have told me that they specifically look to see if students have done a study abroad experience. And especially I'm friends with some of the office staff and hiring staff at some of the Japanese companies. I do speak Japanese, and they told me they will specifically hire American students if they've studied in Asia because they know they will have the cultural sensitivity to be in that environment because, you know, the Japanese want somebody who's going to be comfortable with them. They don't want, you know, so they ended up hiring quite a few students at Rhythm down here in Sparta. And so, and I was just so thrilled to hear that the study abroad made that impact on them. Now, another thing is money. Many people don't realize, and I've heard people say this in public, and it's hard for me not to correct them, but I've heard people say, oh, these international students are going to school and they're going to school free. I don't know what world that was, but because the international students pay almost three times as much as the American students. The Tennessee Tech students pay about $5,000 a semester at Tennessee Tech, and the international students pay almost $13,300 a semester. And you know, and of course, the international students cannot receive any FAFSA or any financial aid. And if they're lucky to get a scholarship, which are very few, you know, that's the only means they have to reduce that cost. Now, athletes, some of the athletes are able to do that if they play sports. And if you're an athlete, they're really lucky because there is quite a few scholarships for athletes.
But that's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
And so how much does the financial part of this equate, for example, just how the dollar is doing against various countries' currency?
Well, it's impacted where I recruit from. And so eight, nine, 10 years ago, Tennessee Tech had over 200 Brazilian students on our campus. And at that time, the U.S. dollar was like $1 to 2 real. Actually, right now, it's almost 1 to 5. So if you consider the Tennessee Tech tuition is $26,000, and you times that by 5, you're talking about 130,000 real. And when people say, well, what does that mean in U.S. dollars? It means $130,000. And so, you know, so the number of Brazilian students we have right now is like 4 or 5. Most of them have scholarships, and some of them have American sponsors who are actually helping them pay because if they didn't, they couldn't afford it. And another country a lot of the countries in Africa have seen their currencies bottom out, and so it's made it really hard for students from Ghana, students from Nigeria to come to the U.S. I've had people, like last year I actually did recruitment trips to South America, and I had people say, well, why are you going to South America? They don't have a lot of money. And I said, well, do you realize Ecuador and Costa Rica don't have a currency? They use the U.S. dollar. So, I mean, that was why I went to those places, because they're using the U.S. dollar. So there's no currency exchange rate problems there. So, you know, students from Ecuador can actually afford to study in the United States. Now, of course, there's a little bit of curve on the cost and stuff, but at the same time, you know, there's a reason to why where we go and why we recruit where we do.
I know in conversations over the last several years over recruiting more African American students from the United States to Tennessee Tech, recruiting more Hispanic students to Tennessee Tech, the issue has been brought up that this is not the most diverse part of the United States. We all know that. Does that play a factor at all in the international?
It has. I've had students tell me, "Oh, you don't have enough Asian people at your school." When I recruit in Vietnam, they will ask me what percentage of my campus is Asian, which is, you know, maybe not even 2%, and you know they'll say, "Oh, that's too small." You know, I want to go to a school where at least 10% of the student body is Asian, and that usually is on the East Coast and the West Coast typically. Especially the West Coast. I used to live in California, and some of the schools were as high as 50% Asian, you know, like UC Berkeley. So we're never going to have numbers like that.
For every student who comes to a university, there is a learning curve. There is an adjustment. There is the being away from home. But being away from your parents who live in Sparta versus being away from your parents who live in Brazil or Ecuador or Vietnam. How does the university try to help in that process?
Well, believe it or not, there's some people who don't understand that. And there's some people that, you know, they're not very accommodating with those students. Like, we have a lot of students who really don't like the cafeteria food. And there are some officials at our school that are just so abrasive about that they, you know, they have to eat in the cafeteria, you know. So, to be honest with you, that's one of the reasons why we encourage the international students to live off campus. Because if you live on campus, you have to have a meal plan. So food is such an essential thing to be comfortable with. You know, wherever you go, you want to be able to eat. And so, that point of being comfortable and feeling welcomed, you know, so the international students, the majority of them, I would say 95% of them, live off campus because of the food.
As you think back over the years that you've done this and worked with international students, what happens when they graduate?
There is an immigration policy that if a student does not apply for work authorization, they have to leave the country in 60 days. Now, students can apply for work authorization. It's called optional practical training. And if they are a non-STEM major, they can work in the United States for 1 year. If they are a STEM major, they can work for 1 year and do an extension for another 2 years. So if a student during those time periods, they can work in the United States legally. And let me tell you, a lot of companies are very happy to have those, you know, especially those computer engineers, those accountants, those CPAs, those, you know. But after that, the majority of them, if the company doesn't hire them with a work visa, the majority of them go home. And I've found that a large percentage of them do go home, probably more like 75%.
Charlie Wilkerson, Tennessee Tech's Director of International Recruitment and Admission. Thanks for educating us today.
No problem. I appreciate it.